Hey everybody, welcome to the Warfing Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we are watching episode one of Power Rangers Rail Riders, a fan series. The first episode in a fan film series. What's it called? All aboard.
It aired October 20th, as we tracked it down. It took a minute, but we tracked it down. Written by Justin Blake Weber and Todd Walsh, and directed by Justin Blake Weber. This is a fan film series made by Zenith Films Media, a very funny production company's name. Putting films and media in your name feels weird to me. Those could be the same thing. But here's the thing. We've already watched it. That's what we do with fan films. We don't stop and then do it again. We watched it, and I need everyone listening. If you are involved with the production of Power Rangers Rail Riders, if you're on the Zenith Films Media team, if you were acting in this at all, I need you to turn the podcast off right now.
Shut off the podcast.
Turn it off. Okay. We're going to say some nice things. We're probably going to say some not nice things because we're going to be fair.
Right.
But I know that you're real people who are just like regular people who didn't have like a budget or Hasbro behind them. And I don't want to like dunk on your work to your face because I have to be fair. It's my job, right? But I also know that you're real people and I know how hard it is to just make anything.
Here's what you should do.
So for
have
me,
have someone else listen to the episode and they can tell you the good stuff.
Someone that you like a little bit. Don't have your mom listen to it, okay? Don't have any partners listen to it.
No one that was involved in any name in the credits at the end of this episode should stop now, please.
And that's not because we're going to be mean the whole time. Because like there is some stuff to enjoy about this fan film. But for my anxiety's sake, I need you to turn the podcast off right now. This has only gone well for us one time. And I don't want to risk... I'm not going to take the chance on it going good a second time. You know what I mean? So this is a fan film that is done in the style of Power Rangers in that they took the footage.
Yeah, it's a fan adaptation of I'm still going to say Toctor, even though we get corrected every time.
I mean, if we get corrected every time, it does not take purchase in my brain because I could not tell you what it's supposed to be if it's not Toctor. Yeah,
there's an appropriate way to say it, but I don't remember what I never remember what it is.
It's a made-up word, so it really doesn't matter.
It's a Q followed by a G, so I don't know what you want me to do with that.
Yeah, it's not a Japanese word that we're mispronouncing. It's a fake made-up word. Just somebody else made it up besides Americans. But also, this is the first time that we've seen someone do it like this, and that's kind of exciting because I feel like that's... At least you're going to get the spirit of Power Rangers. You're going to understand like the deal. So I'm excited to talk about that. There's some stuff I'm less excited to talk about. But
yeah,
Josh, you told me before we started that you found like a fan.
Yeah.
Like a fan wiki.
You sent me a text before we hopped into the meet that you were just trying to find when this episode was first released.
Yeah.
So I Googled it. I Googled Power Rangers Rail Riders and it brought me to powerrangersfanon.fandom.com.
See, I've been there one time and I didn't realize I wasn't on Ranger Wiki and it freaked me out reading about stuff that never happened.
It is fake. It is somebody just made up their own Power Rangers kayfabe and put it online. But it does say Power Rangers Rail Riders is the 27th season of Power Rangers. It does say it's serving as a fan adaptation, so at least there's that. But one of the trivia things, and mostly it's just like facts about the thing, like these are the characters, this is the plot summary, these are the actors, whatever, and that's all true and correct.
Right. That's from the video that we watched.
But then you get to the notes, and it says, the following season, Beast Hunters, was originally scheduled to be released before Rail Riders. However, due to behind-the-scenes shenanigans, production decided to reverse them, which means that in... Power Rangers Fanon.fandom.com's kayfabe. We have not got... No, maybe I'm wrong. Beast Morphers yet. That's not Beast Hunters, though.
No, Beast Hunters, I think, is them doing Zhuhuzher.
Okay, well, maybe I just misinterpreted that then. I can't find it on here now, but there is also a spot on here. Over here. The series is Zenith Films Media's second production following their acquisition of the franchise.
Okay, so that is just goof 'em ups. That's just having a bit of a laugh at reality then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does say at the end of the credits of this episode, this is a fan film done for fun. There's no way really related to actual Power Rangers.
Because how gutsy would you have to be like, this one's the real next one?
Yeah. Cosmic Fury's out. Rail Riders is in.
I went to their Instagram. I went to their Instagram page, and they have three in production, in various states of production.
This does have, on that fan and wiki, it does have a place for five episodes. Only the first two are named, and the last three are still TBA.
Okay. So maybe they're going to make, because the second episode came out very recently, less than a month ago.
Yeah. It also has the air dates, and it has October 20th for the first episode, but then it says through either June or July of this year.
Okay, so they got plans to
somewhere Zenith Films Media has a release schedule posted that this person found, or made it up.
On their YouTube, there was a Q&A with one of the directors / writer, one of those folks that maybe there was some stuff in there. I didn't watch it. I just saw it when I was looking for the date. But it was episode two of Rail Riders delayed? Frequently asked questions. So I guess maybe he had a production timeline in mind, and he said that. And if you're following closely, if you, for example, are making the fanon wiki, then that makes sense. But they have two others, because there's Beast Hunters, which I guess has not come out.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen eventually. And there's Gem Paladins, which is Kiri Major, and that one has, from what I understand, at least an episode or two out. I'm not 100% sure.
I think there's one. Either that or it was a movie adaptation. Because one of the notes said that they are not adapting any Talkger movies because
they couldn't get the rights.
Prism Gems or whatever it was you just said.
Gem Paladins.
Gem Paladins was a very big undertaking for them, and they don't want to do it again.
Fair. I do like that they have a theme. They have Rail Riders, Beast Hunters, Gem Paladins. You're not really doing anything to the gems, but you are a job of them. If you consider writing a job. That's I think all the backstory we got. I don't have anyone's actors' names.
They're in the credits.
They're in the credits.
I can list them right here if you want me to.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Overheat my phone to get this. These actors.
I got them up on Instagram. I just pulled it up. So the Pink Ranger is Genia Marcy. The Yellow Ranger is Michelle Levy. The Blue Ranger is Ryan Cox. The Red Ranger is Armand Garnett. What a good name. The Green Ranger is Zach Davis, and there will be an Orange Ranger.
He's in the intro for this.
He's in the intro for a set, which is really kind of neat. And then I was who? Because also, the way the color grading works is I thought he was another Red Ranger, because his shirt just looks red. But it's orange. And that's Barbaro Tran Suarez, according to his Instagram. I do want to point out, and I'm going to bring this up a little bit later, that Blue Ranger Ryan, his Instagram handle is Ryan Deadpool 89. So everybody just stay tuned. The Pink Rangers is 18_Faye, and her character's name is Faye. And I thought for a second this was going to be an in-character Instagram. It's not. It's just branding.
Maybe
that's how
she got her character name.
Maybe.
Or maybe this came first.
She changed her name. I don't know. Either way.
Well, she pulled the Ultimate Warrior. She's like, I am Faye now.
That's my real name. So you can't copyright it, Vince McMahon. Anyway, so that's I think all of the lead up. Do you want to jump in?
Yes.
Okay. We start off with the most confusing theme song. The most sonically confusing theme song that I've ever heard.
See, I went into this thinking, I'm going to say, at least the music in this is pretty good.
I don't think it's bad.
I think this fits the mold of a Power Rangers theme song. The one thing that I probably wouldn't do
is how it changes genres five times over the course of the song.
All of a sudden, there's just like
some screaming, some tasteful
Linkin
screamo.
Park screaming. Yeah. In the background.
This is why it's confusing to me, because it starts off as like the most Mountain Goats ass Power Rangers theme song you can have. And then as soon as it gets out of the first opening verse, it becomes an Offspring song. And then at some point, it becomes a Linkin Park screamo song. But it's still behind it.
The whole time, I was like, is this kind of like if Yellow Card had Chester Bennington instead of... Bennington, is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Instead of Linkin Park.
Yeah. That would be weird.
It's a little weird.
It's but like the vocals in the very beginning sound so much like the Mountain Goats that I was like, oh, I'm gonna be into this theme song, and then they turn into an Offspring song, and I was like, let's go back, let's pull it back from this Yellow Card thing. Anyway, good song.
It's not bad. It feels like a Power Rangers theme song.
Yeah, credit where it's due. This could be a Power Rangers theme song. It's just a little confusing. Yeah,
it is not just some stock butt rock guitar music that they put in.
Yeah, or just like using the like a alternate unused theme song from the show that they're taking, yeah, you know.
They wrote music for this, and I think it works for what they made.
Yeah, they also used the Power Rangers like leitmotif, the dun 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 dun, yeah. Like that comes back a couple times.
That did get me a couple times.
That's it. Look, so there's some good stuff in here. And if you are still listening and you worked on the film in any capacity, vaya con Dios. This is on you. You can't blame us for this anymore. So we start off on the Red Ranger, face down in the dirt, and he's bloody.
Just that little bit of blood. Just like we said in the last episode, just like a little bit of battle damage. Nothing too over the top.
Clothes pretty much clean. So like, but I get that. Because like, you got to dry clean this coat. You can't put this in the washer, yeah. You know?
Well, the clothes are protected when you morph.
Right.
The clothes become your Power Ranger suit.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
So, but he pushes himself up and he's like, oh, whatever. And he's like dazed, and there was some battle. They're in the woods somewhere. And he's like, oh. And he sees the Yellow Ranger. Her name is Charlie. And we know that because he's like, Charlie. And he runs over.
It also had all their names in the opening credits.
Yeah. But if you're too busy going, why does this sound like four different bands? You don't read the names.
That also led me to believe for about 10 minutes of this episode that they got a name wrong.
Oh, the Blue Rangers?
No, the Red Ranger.
Oh, right. Because, yeah, I also don't like that joke. That's not a good joke.
Just for a throwaway gag. Like...
Yeah. We'll get there. So he runs up. He's like, Charlie. She's dressed in yellow. Clearly the Yellow Ranger. Also down, though. And I just want to pause. And I want to ask America, I want to ask you, I want to ask the people of America, everybody in the world, why is Charlie the go-to tough girl name?
I don't know.
We have to free ourselves from the tyranny of the only sort of masculine name you can give a girl is Charlie.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, tough girls can be named Emily. Like,
you
can have a girl boss. Maybe girl boss is the wrong thing, because that kind of means something different than like a tough guy girl. But you can have a tough guy girl named Ashley or Amanda or like Brittany. Like, it doesn't have to be Charlie or...
Yeah.
I guess just Sam. Charlie.
Charlie and Sam are the
Charlie
only two.
Charlie and Sam.
We need to free ourselves from the tyranny of these two names. If you want to give a girl... If you want to be like, this girl is one tough cookie and she's not a girly girl... And you want to give her like a masculine sounding name, you need to get more creative. All right. I'm from now on, I will no longer accept Charlie's or Sam's as the only way we can do this in media.
Plus, we've already had a Charlie as a Power Ranger, even if she was sort of not one.
She did nothing wrong.
I think she did a lot wrong.
She was explicitly evil, but other than that.
And we've already used Taylor. So in terms of Power Rangers, we cannot have another tough Taylor. But Aaron is right there.
Aaron's right. If you want to do the shorten a nickname, like a name into a boy nickname, name her Michelle, and she goes by Mike. That rules. You never see a mic, a girl mic,
yeah,
in media.
That might be too far in the other direction, where that is just a boy's name, and we can't do something like that.
We need. It's got to start sometime, Josh.
I'm it's not saying I don't think we can do that. I think that rules.
I don't have any other examples of how you could do that, but get more creative than Charlie and Sam. All right. Or else. You're going to deal with me.
Or else. We'll have to talk about this again.
Yeah. So she's alive, and she's like, did we win? And then Blue staggers up, and his name is going to end up being Son? I heard yes. Sai.
I think it's Son.
But in the credits, his name is like Sanzuko. And I'm pretty sure the actor is white. So I don't, that seems like a holdover that I wouldn't have done if I were in your shoes. But he comes up. He's also bloody. They're all bloody too, by the way. They're all injured. He's like, we definitely did not win. And then they go, Faye. And then Faye and Orange Ranger, who will not be talking. Which, like, on the one hand, I like that they did this. I like that because this is a flash forward, clearly, right? Because we're about to hit six months ago kind of deal. But what I like is that they have him here already, and it's not addressed in a weird way. It's just like, also, there's one more Ranger, because obviously. And then Faye is the Pink Ranger. That's a good name for a Pink Ranger, by the way. They like stumble up, and she's like, where's Gus? And then we cut to over a ridge or something, or maybe they like go over a little
there's
hill
just, like,
or whatever.
A banking. Like...
there's a little banking. Is that a term that anyone outside of New England uses, do you think?
I don't know. It's just like, that is a thing, right? It's not just a thing.
Yeah.
Me and my mom said about the hill at the end of our parking lot that went down into the woods.
That's the banking, yeah.
It's a banking.
Like, there's a snow banking. Yeah. For snow. And when they just occur naturally, it's just a regular banking.
Gun to my head, I don't know how I would spell that on a piece of paper.
I couldn't tell you either. I feel like your instinct is to put an apostrophe at the end, but it's not a banking.
No.
That's when when you have to go deposit money.
I'm not depositing money.
It's a banking.
I'm sliding down a wooded hill.
Yeah, I put a piece of cardboard down, and I'm sliding down it, and everyone's going to get really nervous as I fly into the woods at 45 miles an hour. On one piece of cardboard down a banking. But they go down to banking, and then there's Gus, and he has a gun pointed at the just below the camera.
It is a Power Rangers gun. This is not
a
revolver.
Real yeah.
Or, you know, your GoldenEye PP7 or whatever.
he doesn't have a Walther PPK or anything. But he does have a gun pointed at something.
Something off camera.
Yeah, and we don't see it. And he says, I finally found the one I've been looking for.
He's a little jokery.
Yeah, and
he's a little on the obsessed to a crazy degree about something.
Yeah, and he's like the cool aloof guy, and I don't think he really pulls it off. And also, why wouldn't you cast Ryan Deadpool as the crazy Joker guy? He's right there, and he loved Deadpool so much.
Oh no.
And he's also a better actor than Gus is. So, like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if he shoots. Does he shoot? Does he pull
the
trigger?
He doesn't. We get the 6 months earlier title card now.
Okay. And then we get a bunch of, this is from the Sentai. This is just straight up, like, from Talkger, where there's, like, kids playing, and there's, like, this cute, like, imagination sort of overlay where they will, like, draw a line in the sand, and then they'll be, like, whoa, and then like it'll cut to like showing there being like a cliff there, right? And then
yeah, and there's like a girl riding on one of those like whale ride-ons that in the park, but like in her imagination she's riding like a huge whale in the ocean. It's like jumping up out of the water,
and like it does a really good job of showing that, and like it's very good, and it's very clear that this is from a company that had money to do this, so this is just from the Sentai.
What's funny is that all the footage of the kids playing and using their imagination, Sentai footage, but it is intercut with footage they shot of adults.
Yeah, there's just like adults like at a cafe or you know,
or just like outside in the industrial park looking up at the sky.
Yeah. And then it cuts back to like kids playing. It's just a bunch of Japanese kids because from the Sentai show. There's like a voiceover about like imagination. Is that happening yet? Yeah. Or is that
there's a lot of imagination. So
they try to pull that exact emphasis on imagination off later, and it does not work because that guy has never seen that episode of SpongeBob. I'll tell you that for free. So then there's like this, there's like a dark cloud that goes over, and there's like this is the footage that they shot of like people looking up the sky, and they're like, oh, what's going on? And then like they start freezing, like all the people just like stop, like dead. They're not like chilly, they just like stop moving, yeah,
like stopped in time. And then the kids like disappear.
Everybody disappears. They get the kids, they also get the adults. Like the adults get swamped by the man also.
They just throw them right in the furnace.
They're like, well, we took them, we don't need them, so you're in the coal car getting ready for the to get shoveled in the furnace.
It might as well happen today.
There's like a shot of like new footage of like a baby in like a stroller, and I was like, does the baby not get taken? Because they're talking about like imagination, how like kids' imaginations are powerful and beautiful and all that, and then like the little baby doesn't get taken, and I was like, I don't think that baby has an imagination yet. I don't think that baby has object permanence yet. I don't know what the how long it takes for you to get imagination, but I think it's post 3 months old or so. But then everybody gets disappeared, and then we cut to Blue Ranger, whose name we don't know yet, and that I got wrong until I saw it in the end credits. They say, like, also the voiceover is like, the Shadow Line took over, and they're doing bad stuff. And that's what they're called in the Sentai 2, because I know a tiny bit about Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So, which I know one thing about Power Rangers that I'm going to wait, like, a little bit to reveal in case you don't know it, and I am going to spoil a, at this point, 7-year-old Sentai season, maybe longer, maybe less, I don't know. But it's really weird. I think that they're doing that, but it doesn't really work. But I'll get there. So Blue sees some people, some mooks. They're like 1920s gangster mooks.
Yeah.
And they're called crows.
I did not know that until I saw it in the credits.
The bad guy
does say it at one point.
Yeah, I heard him say bros, though. These are called bros.
It's the level 2 bros.
The level 2 bros. These are level 1 bros, and that's because they're in original footage. They're not in Sentai footage.
Yeah.
So they look like the Red Scare from Aspire Pro Wrestling.
But in black and white.
But in black and white. And they do this thing where they always hold their hat. Like, they never let go of their hat, like, in a menacing way, and it's actually very funny.
They're very good. I actually enjoyed them quite a bit.
I like the bros. There's only 5 of them, and you can tell, because they move them around, but there are only 5 outfits. They're, like, walking down an alley, and then Blue Ranger's like, oh, I gotta get out of here. And he, like, tries to, like, get away, but then it's for some reason he says, like, free ice cream. Like, he's trying to bait them, but he's not. I don't know why he said this.
There's a lot of times where there will be a line that a character will just say.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to mean anything.
No.
I can think of one other time where Faye says something and I'm just like, what does that mean?
I bring that up whenever we get to it. Because, like, there's one line that she says that I was like, oh, you're trying to make her like Lily from Pitch Perfect, where she would just say something weird quietly, and everyone's like, what? What did you say? Where she's like, I hate my twin in the womb. And they're like, what? What? And then she just smiles, and they're like, okay, never mind. I don't know if they pull it off quite as well.
I don't think so, because I don't think she said anything just weird like that. She
says one thing kind of weird later, so maybe it's a different thing that you're thinking of.
Maybe. Or I misheard it, which is also very possible, because she was very quiet.
She was very quiet. Audio leveling on this one, pretty solid, but a couple times I was like, I just couldn't tell. Like,
there
like,
are a couple times where one of the Rangers' voices is mixed a little higher and they're having a conversation, and the lower one is kind of getting lost in the music also.
Yeah. Also, Gus doesn't like to enunciate. He hates it. He hates saying the whole word, and fair enough. Anyway, he's trying to, like, bait a child into getting to coming to him to get free ice cream. It looks like he's looking for somebody. He's also hiding from the bros. So I don't know what the point of this is.
There's not really a clear cut way to tell how much time has passed since the people have disappeared. And now we are following rangers walking through an empty city.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. People. They're not rangers yet. They're people.
They're all color coded, but they're not Power Rangers. It could be anybody.
Like, did this just happen?
Are we a couple hours
out? Are we like...
I think it's pretty recent because one of them is
sleeping.
Because
I think Faye robbed a bank.
And she definitely robbed a bank, which good for her. Best Power Ranger. So, but he like... The bros like get him. And they like grab him and like he tries to like get away, but he keeps bumping into him whichever way they go. And it's very clearly like, the same five guys on either side of the camera. But then Yellow comes in and saves him very unconvincingly. The fighting, not at this episode's strong suit.
I was going to try not to say anything about it, but like I understand these are regular people. And with the exception maybe of Gus, have not trained in any kind of martial art.
Gus does a whole ass triple spin kick later, yeah. So like he at least knows a little bit.
The best way I can describe the fight choreography in this is that it's not bad. I think the moves they're doing are fine. It's just very slow.
It's very slow and it's very unconfident, I think, is the big problem. This is like school play fighting. Like not like like play fighting at a school. Like in a school play on stage in front of your parents. This is you throwing a very bad punch, basically.
Yeah, and we've got five regular people fighting five not trained stuntmen. So, like...
Yeah, so...
I don't really know how much better than this you can get without actually beating each other up for the for the film.
I think a lot of the problem also is that we're pro wrestling fans. And so, like, my entire life I've been not punching my little brother, right?
Yeah.
Like, for coming up on 30 years, I've been not punching him. Like punching at him, but like not actually punching him.
Right, yeah.
So like I'm pretty good at throwing a convincing fake punch. These people do not have a little brother that they've been not punching for 20 years, you know? So
yeah. Or have not been the little brother being not punched.
Yeah. Which I think everyone needs. It's a life skill that you need to learn as to how to fake getting punched.
How to fake fight.
But Yellow helps him. I also just like in terms of acting, I don't know. Her and Gus are fighting for bottom on acting. maybe not ability, but maybe like delivery. I don't know. Something's wrong with the two of their actings. And I don't think it's their fault.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe it either. But you can tell, like you can see her remembering her lines a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we get that really from Blue.
Oh, Blue is...
He's pretty good. And I Blue's think Red good. Is also pretty good.
I also like Pink. I don't like some of the things she is given to say, but that's not her problem.
Yeah, some of her deliveries are a little flat. But overall, she's also fine.
Yeah. I think they tried to give the most personality to two actors that like aren't doing it right. I don't know what's going on. It's just they are the two that are clearly acting versus the others who are... Anyway. She's like, get on your feet, you sorry excuse for a man. And then I thought this was a setup. Like, they were trying to, get the bros. Like, they were, working together to trick the bros. Because he's like, I want to quit. And she's like, you can't quit. I think that might be later. But they're not. They're about to be handcuffed. So clearly this isn't, a setup. It just feels like it. This is a very weird... This whole first part is really weird. Then we cut to Faye. And she's in a bunny hoodie. And she's got a trash bag. And she's sneaking past.
And she's just, slinking around.
Yeah.
And she walks by the alley that they're being tied up in.
Yeah. But she's like, not my problem. But then Gus grabs her shoulder from behind and she drops her big bag and judo flips him over and then grabs a wooden plank from somewhere and is about to brain him with it. And then he's like, I didn't know you'd freak out like that. And they seem weirdly familiar with each other, but this is their first time meeting, I feel like.
Yeah, I think the only two that have any prior connection are San and Charlie, and only San remembers it.
And
so.
She doesn't know that. So he's like, we got to get out of here. Like, she says something like, oh, you know, everyone, like, the creepy guys are out. And he's like, well, then we should get out of here. And she's like, okay. And they go to run. And she's like, I got to get my bag. And I was like, it's just trash. But it's not just trash.
I thought she was just taking the trash. Like, she come out to throw the trash away and was like, hey, it's eerie out here.
Everyone's
now
gone. Yeah, no, she robbed a bank. This is full of $100 bills.
Yeah, because Gus yells, hey, come on. And she's like, oh, man. And instead of just squatting to grab the bag full of hundreds.
Like, yeah.
Also, she's right in front of. She also just leaves it.
There's no way a trash bag full of $100 bills is as heavy as she's making it look. I can't imagine it being that heavy. They run off. Blue and Yellow are tied up, and it doesn't, at first it just seems like they're sitting down. Like, it doesn't really read like they are detained.
Yeah.
In any way.
What I thought happened is they beat the few that had cornered them and were resting.
Yeah. But no.
They got overwhelmed and their hands are tied behind their back, which you can't really tell until they stand up.
Yeah. And it also feels like there's nothing actually holding their hands there. Either way. So he's like, I want to quit. I just want to leave. And she's like, you can't quit. And he's like, or she's like, who said you could quit? And he's like, me. I said it. I want to quit. I want to go away. I want to go home from here. And she's like, I hate guys like you with soft hands and money and whatever. And there's a joke about dyslexia.
Suit jackets. And she's like, I bet you can't spell mud. Is that what she said?
I think so. And he's like, I'm dyslexic. And this is two jokes that are not from the same joke. This is something. This script is messy.
Yeah. This didn't land for me. I don't know what she was hinting at. And like the dyslexia being like, I can't spell anything, I guess was what he was going for.
Yeah. And then she's like, what's your name? Because I don't want to die next to a stranger. And he's like, I thought he said Sai because it's Sanzuko or something like that. But
for some reason, he can't get the whole thing out. He just says San. Just call me San.
Yeah, which is not a symptom of dyslexia. That's a different thing. That's a different thing that happens. And she's like, okay, good. And then somehow it comes up that, like, they went to school together. She's like, he's like, we're not strangers. Like, we were in class together.
Yeah. She's like, well, I don't remember it. And he's like, calls her Charlotte. And she's like, ew, don't, only my family calls me that.
Only my family. Don't ever call me Charlotte. If you have to call me something, it should be Charlie. Because we are beholden to only one tough girl name ever.
Yeah. If we get out of this, you can call me Charlie.
The toughest girl I ever met in my life's name was Kim. She was on the rugby team at Frankie P and could have absolutely bodied me like at any moment.
I'm trying to think, the girls that bullied me through grade school, the ones I could remember were Bonnie.
That's a good tough girl name.
and Jess.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like you got a 50-50 shot on Jess being nice or very mean.
Right.
Again, I am now anti Charlie and Sam as tough girl names. 2024, new year, new us, not using those names anymore.
No.
So,
which is funny because if there's like a guy named Charlie, he's usually like a dum-dum.
That's a weenie.
That's like a goober.
That's like a goober. That's a Weenie Hut Jr. ass man named Charlie. Come on. And Sam is just wearing a big shirt, putting a ladder in a window.
With his flannel tied around his waist. He wore Pearl Jam. There's a whole episode where they have tickets to Pearl Jam, and it's like
time
the whole thing is like we might not be able to go to the Pearl Jam concert.
Oh man, I wanted to hear Eddie Vedder do his one song. Every Pearl Jam song sounds the same to me, and I'm very sorry to all you Pearl heads out there. I just can't differentiate them. It's just a slower or faster version of the same song. So anyway, then the bros walk up and Charlie gets on her feet and she's like, bring it on, you dapper dicks. That's a bad line.
You can't say that in Power Rangers.
First, I mean, look, even if you could say that in Power Rangers, you shouldn't. It's not a good line.
No.
Why would you call them dapper?
Because they look
that's not
nice.
Very tough girl of you, Charlie. But
look, she was sitting there with her hands tied, trying to think of a good alliteration to call guys.
And then it just, look, in the heat of the moment.
You well-dressed weenies.
Maybe maybe don't try to do a pun about it. You know, maybe don't try to do a funnel. Don't do any wordplay when you're about to be murdered by mooks.
Just kick them.
Yeah.
Just stand up and kick them.
They come at her and San, and they're going to kill him. But then Gus makes the save by doing a Superman punch, I think, is how he enters frame. He does end up doing like a triple spin kick. And like, that's cool, but it also does look the same as like when Charlie fights, where it's just like, it's a little slow. It's not terribly confident. It clearly doesn't connect even a little bit. And then while he's doing that, Faye runs up and releases their hands by touching their hands like they're doing some cool form of tag, where when you get tagged, you have to put your hands behind your back and someone else like freeze you.
Like a TV tag. You have to yell at a TV show.
That's such a weird thing. I don't know how that traveled around the way it did.
Everything did back then, and there's no way that it could have.
I heard on Law, my aunt was watching Law and Order yesterday, and I heard a line that I have only ever heard my mother say, and I know she didn't watch Law and Order, so I don't know how the two got together. I don't know what happened, how this phrase traveled from wherever they made Law and Order.
It was sent in the same letter as the cool S.
The cool
and
S.
And the rules for TV tag.
The cool S, the rules for TV tag, and like,
the rumor about Marilyn Manson's ribs.
Marilyn Manson's ribs, right? These playground things just got so out of hand. Like, how did they
magazines?
Travel? It must have been magazines. It had to be. There's no other explanation. Anyway, so then as she like frees them from their restraints, Faye tries to like nag herself because she's like, I was too scared and I just ran away. And then Charlie's like, but you came back, and that's the brave thing. And they basically refuse to let her talk down to herself, which is pretty sweet. But then more bros come. Asterisk, it's the same ones. there's only five. And
yeah, this is really funny because Faye is like, I can't fight.
I don't know how to fight.
Like, I don't know how to fight. And then so they all stand in front of her, and San is like, don't worry, we're not going to let them touch you. And then all the crows attack, and they all run out of the way and leave Faye by herself.
And then she runs the opposite way. They all run one way, and she is left. The only way she could go is the other way. But also, we cut to the Red Ranger sleeping. And the mooks are trying to wake him up by, like, touching his arms and squeezing his nose and poking at him and stuff. And after he just doesn't wake up, they just, like, pick him up and carry him away. To what end? Yeah. Who knows? Where are they taking him? Doesn't matter. He does wake up at some point.
He wakes up and he's like, oh, we're doing the swing toss thing. And now I'm Jake, I am really starting to get worried about RPM. Because this fan film does have some self-referential humor in it, and it never hit. Not one single joke hit.
Same, brother. This is. I was like, oh no, they watched the five clips that they circulate from RPM over and over and over again, and then made this. Oh no, sorry for blowing out everybody's eardrums with that. With that same brother, I just needed it to be very loud to make a point. So he gets tossed, and then one of them runs up and punches him, and it just doesn't do anything. It just like straight up, he punches him in the chest. A weird place to punch somebody. They're very strong. People are strong there.
So he's a Robonokio, confirmed.
He's a clearly Robonokio. He's like, oh, we're doing punches.
He's a train, actually.
He's the red train turned into a boy. This, I'll save it for one more scene from here. So they start fighting, and again, the fight, or it's like a fun fight, and it's like well choreographed. It's just like very clearly like untrained people fighting untrained people, and like,
yeah,
there's only so much you can do from that. Then we cut back to the other Rangers, and we start with Charlie fighting, and then we go to Gus, and Gus gets knocked down, but he gets up again. You're never gonna keep Gus down. He gets knocked down again. Oh, not Gus. He's so random.
He's got like a kind of like a twisted random and cool.
He's such a, like a twisted sense of humor. It's so why did they get the Deadpool guy? Anyway, he has a Deadpool outfit. According to like his second picture on his Instagram is him in a Deadpool outfit. It could have got Ryan Deadpool to be the Deadpool guy. I feel like it would have probably worked a little bit better for everybody involved.
Not Ryan Deadpool. Oh man.
Then we cut to San, and he is fighting also in like a dorky way, I guess. Because they're doing so, like, because they're adapting footage, they are doing that thing where they are trying to make the characters outside of the morph behave sort of like how the characters in the morph do, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when they first morph, the first thing the Blue Ranger does is, like, a very polite bow. And so they're trying to be like, San is the polite one. He's, like, a well-to-do boy. But it just comes off like he's kind of a Weenie Hut Jr. Then we cut to the Mooks just beating up Faye. Like, they are mugging her, basically.
They, like, kick her in the ribs. They punch her in the face.
They just punch her in the face, like, twice.
She just stumbles back into the corner of this alley and is cowering as five crows are just, like, pummeling her.
They're just, like, beating her up. Like, they are destroying her. And then she does this thing that when I saw this, I was like, this is adapted straight from the Sentai.
You could do a better thing than this.
And this sucks so much. She closes her eyes and she's like, imagines being strong, and then is like, I'm the strongest girl, yells, I'm the strongest girl, and like does an Ivan Putski and knocks all of them off of her. And there has got to be a better way to do that. Because she's an adult woman doing this.
Well, she did have that bunny hoodie on.
But she doesn't look, she doesn't even, they don't even look like teenagers. Like, they don't even, like,
no,
like,
yeah.
Like, Red Ranger has a full beard. they don't even look like teens. They look like adults. But here's the thing. I didn't know when to bring this up. But in Power Rangers, in Talkture, the main Rangers are all children who were growed up. Like, they got bigged.
Okay.
So, like, and I don't know exactly how it works.
Like, Tom Hanks bigged.
They got Tom Hanks bigged, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they, like, I assume the bad guys were like, everybody with imagination, everyone who doesn't have good imaginations. And as we know, all adults, your imagination falls right out of your body the second you turn 18. It's just gone from then on out, and you can only talk about Texas and the big game,
right,
and things that you see in real life in front of you. And so the kids become teens to young adults somewhere in that area, right? Mm-hmm. And but they're still kids. Like, I don't know if they act like kids or what, but I feel like that's just going to be the secret of this too, because it seems like they're trying to adapt it as like one-to-one as they can.
But the only problem with that is I think San told Charlie we went to high school together.
I thought he just said school. If
maybe
he said
he
high
did.
School, then maybe not. But it, but
the
but
only
if he
one
did,
that, well, no, I guess Ricky / Marcus also acts
kind of
like a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Gus acts like a kid who's trying to act like a teenager.
He acts like one of the three ninjas.
Yeah. He acts like a three ninja. He's Colt. So angry. And then like San and Charlie like act like kids that are just a little that have been grown up. And then Faye robbed a bank, but like who wouldn't have done that if they had the option when they were eight, right?
Right, yeah.
And there's nobody around. Yeah, I'm for sure robbing a bank.
I don't hate that, but there is just some stuff that kind of doesn't fit for me.
With her robbing
like
bank.
If Charlie was eight, would she hate guys like San who have money and soft hands?
I mean, yeah, could be.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because she'd be eight now.
Well, I mean, that's true.
She'd be a 2023 8-year-old, not a 1998 8-year-old like I was, you know? So we had different worries.
That yeah, look, I can't speak to what 18-year-old problems are now. Never mind 8-year-old
problems.
Let alone
an 8-year-old, yeah. So then there's like a big wide shot of the four Rangers beating up. They have like two of the bros like in double chicken wings, and Charlie is like kicking one very unconvincingly in the stomach, and then someone they're fighting another one in the background, but I couldn't even tell. And then one gets thrown onto the screen.
San
and
has one in a full Nelson.
I think that's the one that Charlie's kicking.
Maybe, yeah.
It's either that or Gus has him in a chicken wing, and then there's just like we'll get these two. I guess the other ones are dead? I don't know.
I feel like, maybe I'm misremembering. My brain's starting to slip a little bit in my old age. But I do feel like at one point, Faye was just on top of one punching it in the head.
That happens, like, right after she becomes the strongest girl.
Yeah.
She's like, Luthez presses one. And starts,
right.
Because she just got punched in the head like six times. So she's mad.
That's the problem, Jake, is that she's always angry.
She's always angry. Look, hey, if you would have talked to me between the ages of like 12 and 18, I was also just angry most of the time.
Yeah, same.
One of the mooks gets thrown on a screen, and then there's like a kind of a hero shot of Ricky, and he's like, you guys look like you're having fun. Can I tag in or jump in or whatever? And they're like, sure. And he runs and like...
So San has the one in a full Nelson that Charlie was like kicking.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I think Faye had one at least taken down and was like stomping on it or something. I don't know. The one Gus was fighting stops with them to just look at Ricky. That's very funny, actually.
Yeah. And then Ricky does like a football tackle and like football tackles five of them together and then launches them into space. And he's like, hey, I'm Ricky. And then my autocorrect was like, you meant Rocky.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, the opening credits said you were Marcus. What happened?
What's going on? I just accepted that he was going to be Ricky because I didn't read any of the names during the opening credits. And then we smash cut to an old man saying, and you can call me the conductor.
There is some connective tissue missing here. There's a whole scene of this episode we didn't get to see.
Yeah, and not only did we not get to see it, but they try to explain it as if we did see it, but in like a, as you know, kind of way. Because immediately they're like, whoa, did you just see this train come out of nowhere? What?
As you know, the moon is fake.
So we all know the moon's fake. Right? Welcome to Conspiracies 302. And you skipped some classes getting here. And then I saw another one that was like, the moon is fake. But this one at least gave me the introductory course to moon is fake. It's like when they land on the moon, it sounds hollow. There's like a bell sound. And it's like, you wouldn't have been able to hear that in space, dumbass. And number two, yeah, because like the moon doesn't have a molten core. It's little. It probably will hollow it out a little bit. Like, so if they land, it's because like you're just hearing the reverberations of a spaceship land on it. Anyway, so they're like, "Whoa, did you just see that? The train come out with no rails?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they like look over at the city, and they're like, "And they blew up the city too." And we all saw that. And it's like, I know you couldn't film any of that stuff, but this could have been done way great, more gracefully.
So they talk with the conductor, who has he's in a white suit with like a rainbow tie on.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm the conductor.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. Also, he does look like older Gus. like if these two didn't have different last names, I would have been like, oh, that's the guy who plays Gus's dad.
Yeah.
But it's.
Yeah, sure.
And it still might be because they look the damn same.
He's the conductor, see? And he explains to them about the shadow line, I think.
Yeah, he explains the shadow line and then the rainbow line. And
yeah, you'll have to fight the bad guys and be Power Rangers. And then San is like, but they blew up the city. And this is, I don't know exactly what Faye said here.
Okay, so this is what I was talking. So we are talking about the same thing.
But what I heard was not this time. And no, okay, I don't know what she meant by that.
So... he said, somebody said, did you see that train come in without any tracks or talking about the city being ruined? And she's like, yeah, I did see that. And then he's like, and they blew up the city. And she said, I didn't see that this time. And I took it to mean that she's blown up a city before, but this one wasn't her.
Look, maybe she did rob a bank.
She
because
did,
she realized there were no people around.
There's no one there to stop her. Why wouldn't you? It's a victimless crime. It's like a double victimless crime. But then they're like, you got to defeat the shadow line, etc. And they're like, how are we going to do
was
that?
She,
he's like,
wait, was she referencing how that scene was not in the show? When she was like, I didn't see that this time.
I maybe. Like I said,
she
also
makes the worst joke of the episode later on.
Does she make a worse joke than "you can't spell mud, I'm dyslexic"? Is that
when she says, "I think that's from the Sentai"? Yeah, I think that's a worse joke.
I didn't know that. I thought she said, "I think it's from the 70s," and I thought it was a funny joke. But if she said from the Sentai, that is a bad joke. That sucks. the conductor's like, you have imagination. He tries to do the SpongeBob one, but they were clearly told, say it like this, and then he didn't see the SpongeBob for reference, and he just said it the way they said to say it. And it's not good.
It's not great.
Cut to the Shadow Line. We get introduction to the baddies. There's one lady one. And then there's a big baby named Greta. That's the only one whose name I remember. And then
there's one other name I remember. We haven't seen him quite yet.
There's at least two other guys, right? There's like the Nazi, the very clearly a Nazi one, and then the other one who's a Nazi but has an American accent.
Yeah, so there's Greta and her mom.
I don't think
it's actually her mom, but they call her Mama. So
yeah.
And then there's Ragdoll is the guy in the train.
That's like the monster of the week.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
And then another guy, like the evil conductor, the evil robot conductor comes in. And his name is Baron Stein, which I feel like they did as a reference to the Mandela effect. But I don't know for sure.
I mean, maybe. And there's another one who's like the enforcer guy.
Yeah, and then there's Arn Anderson just waiting to spinebuster.
They got Nazi robot Arn Anderson in here. And the voice acting for these guys rules. It's really good.
I think for Greta...
Greta's just someone going like, Mama. It's like, what if Grimace was a baby?
It's a little weird. Everyone else's was like... actual like Power Rangers quality voice acting on the bad guys.
Pretty
solid. It was
solid.
Pretty good.
And then Baron Stein's like, we need to make more stops on the Shadow Line so we can get power to awaken the Emperor.
Okay. The train emperor.
Emperor of trains. He's the evil train man. And he's gonna make you late for work. Oh no.
Oh god.
Anyway, where do we go from here? I think we cut back to the Power Rangers.
Now they are inside the Good Train.
They're in Good Train. They're on Rainbow Line, as they will. Yeah. I don't know if they said it already or they're going to say it in a second. But he does some exposition of like, they'll make evil and you got to stop it and et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, how? And he's like, why? By becoming the Rail Rider Power Rangers. And then Gus in a single shot. Nobody else is here because I feel like it took 40 tries to get this takeout.
I also think when they were outside talking to the conductor that the conductor was talking to nobody.
It definitely seemed like,
because we never saw them in the same shot. Also, though, I wanted to point out when they were outside the train, they were green screened onto footage of, or at least an image of the big red train.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good green screen. The only reason I could tell is because a little bit of like the fringe on the conductor and Gus's hair, you could see it kind of like fade in.
But other than that, pretty solid. And like, honestly, a lot of that is because like green screen technology has come a long way. It's like super easy to chroma key
stuff. Thanks to Twitch.
Now. Thanks to Twitch. Thanks to just like technology getting easier to use over the years. So like this, if they would have made this like 10 years ago, it would not have looked this good, but
it's incredibly convincing. And I did want to bring that up because there is another point later where maybe they could have shot something on a green screen instead of doing what they did.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm excited. So he's the conductor. Like, you'll become Rail Rider Power Rangers. Then single shot of Gus being like, "Oh, you know what? What else could it have been? Why not get spandex powered suits to fight Nazi train guys?"
Makes sense.
Then there's like a whole bit. It sucks. It's not good. And then there's like a whole bit where he hands out the morphers, which are like wrist morphers, and little trains, which are like the turbo keys.
That's like the power coin is a little train.
Yeah. And at this point, I need to point out that both San and Ricky have taken off their jackets.
Yeah.
So Ricky took off his red Letterman jacket and is only wearing a blue hoodie. And Sam took off his blue jacket and has a red tie.
A red tie. And I think he also has red shoes.
Maybe. And then conductor hands them the little trains and he goes to hand Ricky the blue one. And Ricky's like, no, thank you. And I thought it was very funny the way he was like, no, not that one. And he's like, but it's blue. Why don't you want it? He's like, I don't really like blue. He's like, but you're wearing a blue shirt. And this joke only works because off screen he took his jacket off and so did Sam. So they're not wearing the colors that they've been in the whole time prior to this.
Right.
It's the only reason this joke even exists. But he's like, what color do you like then? Because he's like, it's laundry day. I only had this blue hoodie. And he's like, what color do you like? He goes, red. And so he walks over to Sam, takes the red one, gives him the blue one, and then gives
he does Ricky it aggressively. The red one.
Yeah,
he like yanks like, it out of Sam's hand and shoves him the blue one, and is like, "You're the one I like the least."
He's like, "Yeah," and then when he gives Ricky back the red one, it just over this guy's shoulder. Sam's like, "Oh, I like red too, though."
Yeah, yeah, and then the conductor like winks at Ricky, like, "I got you, bud."
Got you, man. That guy sucks anyway. And then we cut over to the other three who are on the other side of the train car, and they all have different colors. And I think Faye has.
Gus starts with pink.
Yeah.
Faye starts with yellow. Yeah. And Charlie has green.
And so she's like, hey, can I be the Pink Ranger? I always wanted to be the Pink Power Ranger. And he's like, yeah, sure. So they trade. So he's yellow. And then Charlie's like, yeah, I also don't really love green. If you want, can we trade? And he's like, whatever, sure. So they trade. And I just want to point out that they made a whole big deal about how he doesn't like, about Ricky doesn't like blue.
Yeah.
Just like keep that in mind for like a minute from now. Just like keep it in your pocket. So they finally get their colors sorted, and Ricky's like, I'm Ricky, the Red Rail Rider Ranger. And then Sam's like, no one could say that. And then everyone go in turn says Ricky, the Red Rail Rider Ranger. And then Sam goes, do you have a middle name? And he's like, yeah, it's Marcus. He's like, okay, you're going to be Marcus now.
Yeah.
And then why?
Because they look down in a huddle. He's like, yeah, my middle is Marcus. And then Sam's like, he goes by Marcus.
So but I Ricky don't have to say...
Ricky could have just been like, no, I don't.
No. Also, you don't get to pick that for me.
It would be a funny joke if Sam is the only one they called him Marcus. But because he's credited as Marcus in the opening, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I don't know. It's also just, it's stupid. The problem is that it's just kind of stupid. Like, and also, I feel like they think that a stutter and dyslexia are the same thing. And the joke earlier was supposed to sort of catch all just, that stuff.
At best, it's just a tongue twister.
Yeah, and like, at worst, it's like just kind of mean. Like, yeah, like you're just kind of mean spirited.
I forgot dyslexic was part of Sam's character. Actually,
that's what. Well, because then immediately he tries saying his name and he can't. And I feel like they're like, yeah, dyslexia. You know, like how like when you stutter, it's like those are different things that happen to you. Those are different. Those are different experiences altogether. So they, he's Marcus now, I guess. I'm still going to call him. He's Ricky in my notes. He's always going to be Ricky to me. And so Ricky sees, they start, the evil train bumps up alongside them. They start dogfighting with the trains, and it's Sentai footage, obviously. But the train's like bumping into each other. And at some point, Ricky sees that there are kids on the other train. Because they said earlier when they're like, Ragdoll, what are you doing with those kids? He's like, I'm going to get their souls. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And so... Ricky's like, there are kids on that train. And Conductor's like, yes, he's going to harvest their souls, obviously.
He's
so.
Going to murder the children and put their souls into the steam engine.
It is to make the evil Nazi train emperor. And then he's like, we'll see about that. And then he's like, where's the control room? And I guess Ricky goes into the driver's seat.
This infuriated me. Because we get one quick shot of the Red Ranger in a train control room, not saying anything, but just like driving the train.
Yeah.
Obviously in the footage, speaking.
Sure.
It's one of those weird like season two or three when.
When you say Red Ranger, do you mean like morphed Red Ranger?
It is the morphed Red Train Ranger driving the train. And then it cuts to the outside and they run out unmorphed.
I thought, because I wrote, I was typing a note, and then when I look up, Ragdoll lands on the ground, and I was like, oh, I guess they just did another thing where they're like, anyway, next scene, and like they just wanted us to fill in the gaps. But if we saw the Red Ranger bouncing his head doing nothing,
we saw the Red Power Ranger
that sucks.
Before we saw them morph. And I thought at first I was like, well, yeah, they're just gonna be Power Rangers, they don't have the budget for like a big morph sequence, but
right,
they did.
I mean, look, it's clearly they just like cut out the heads, put them on different bodies.
Yeah, but
you know, but still,
that is way more than I was expecting them to have.
So then we cut outside. Ragdoll gets bumped on the ground. He gets up. The others are there, and Ricky's like, "Kids are too far." So maybe they aren't kids, but it feels like the trick is going to be like, "You're kids too. You just didn't realize it." Whoa, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So then he's like, he summons up level two bros. They're crows, but I heard him say bros. And they are the actual Sentai mooks who look like upgraded versions of the unmorphed ones. And I think calling them level two versions of the other one is like a pretty good way to cover that.
Yeah. Plus, it explains why they have to morph to fight these ones, and they could just beat up the other ones in a back alley.
Yeah. Because like these ones are level two.
Yeah. It's the power creep.
Yeah. So they do a roll call. Sort of. They do. It's like a roll call kind of thing. They will do a roll call in a second, but they do like a, like, we're gonna fight for imagination and for justice and peace and kids, and like each one says like a different thing, and it's like, wrap it up. This episode's already going long. Wrap it up. You don't need all this. So then they do a morph sequence. I don't know. It looked like the guy playing Ricky was in a spandex suit.
I think they all were in like a colored spandex suit, and then it kind of, when they fully morph, it just kind of transitions into them being Power Rangers.
Yeah, because there's like a light, and then they spin around, and then they're in the helmets, and it's like clearly the Sentai footage again. But it's like a pretty solid way to bridge the two. And I just want to say that the Power Rangers morph sequence, where like they have blank helmets, and then a train track halo appears around their head and suction itself to the visor, rules. That's very good. I don't take back everything bad I ever said about Power Rangers, but I take back a little bit of it, because some of this stuff is pretty cool.
I think it would have made a pretty cool, like, goofy season of Power Rangers.
The problem is that kids, unless you are a child baby watching PBS, you don't care about trains if you're an American. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, hell yeah, the train... This cool train. It's just all the Zords are just rectangles. They're just long rectangles.
The Zords aren't great.
Yeah.
Okay. I admit
and like
that.
That's the main thing that moves toys is the Zords, right? Like it's the Zords, the main Rangers, and then whatever. I don't even know if they still sell bad guys. I had every single bad guy toy, like for every. I had like invincible flytrap as a toy.
Yeah.
And like now, yeah. I don't think they put out the main bad guys.
I don't know. I don't even know if there's Power Ranger toys now. I don't think they have that section at Walmart anymore.
They don't. They
but the
last
Ninja
time I was
Turtles,
at Target, they only have like Legacy, like the Lightning Collection stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last time I was at Walmart, I couldn't find that stuff. I couldn't find Dino Fury Morphers, even though Dino Fury was still on at the time. There's no Cosmic Fury stuff that I've been able to see toy wise.
I don't know if I've seen anything.
But, like, all the Ninja Turtles toys, all those new toy lines, like, every time there's a new version of Ninja Turtles, they do a new toy line, and it always has the villains in it.
Well, that's because
they know the Ninja Turtles need to fight somebody, and you can only sell Michelangelo in so many different outfits.
There's only so many outfits, and you can only make them universal monsters once per line.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like Hasbro really dropped the ball, despite being the My Little Pony company and knowing the power of selling a million different ponies.
They are a toy company.
Yeah.
And you think when they bought the show that is a toy commercial, they would make toys to sell with that show.
But instead, they're like, only Lightning Collection and only some weird ones. You're going to get Max from Wild Force, but you will never get Jen.
You'll never get Jen. You will get Katie, but you will never see Jen.
You will never see Jen. Also, Trent, like, we didn't paint him. It's mostly just a blank white guy in there. there were a couple that I was like, that painting mistake is fine. Like the they put out Merrick again. Merrick, not Jen, but Merrick. Fine, cool. They put out Merrick, and like he had like three stripes instead of two, or two stripes instead of three. And someone was complaining about that, and I was like, you have too much time in your day. You need more worries in your life. That's fine. But then I saw the Trent one where it's like they just didn't paint most of him, and I was like, that seems like a quality control issue.
Yeah.
Or I saw one where like the head didn't fit, like because it was put in backwards, like the neck post or something was like backwards on one of the toys, and I was like, that seems like a bigger deal than like you should. That shouldn't happen, right? Like that, that kind of thing should be fixed. So then we get a more fight. We get the more sequence. We get a more fight, and they each have a trained weapon. And the Blue Ranger has a platform gun that shoots a big platform that stops people.
He calls it platform trigger.
And then he does a barrel roll, and he goes barrel roll because his voiceover not the best. Faye's voiceover.
Voiceovers are a little weak. I thought
Faye's voiceover was very good.
Faye's was pretty good. I think Ricky's was a little TJ-esque.
A little flat, little unenthused.
Charlie's is consistent with her acting, yeah. I think. I don't really remember Gus.
I don't know. I don't love Gus, so I
don't like Gus as a character, so I don't really remember Gus much.
So but then he does a barrel roll, and then let's see, who else? Charlie has a signal hammer, which is very cool. I love when Power Rangers get hammers. I think Big Hammer is a great weapon to have.
Faze is like a bridge claw.
It's a bridge claw, and she makes it grow. And when the mooks run over it, they turn little. And
they
she
turn
stabs
little, and
them
she uses
like ants.
The claw to just poke them like ants. And she's like,
she's like. Because she burnt down another city.
She burnt down a city, she robbed a bank, and she's torturing crows.
She's ant-bullying the little crows.
Faye's dark. Faye's got a dark side to her.
There's something up there. Gus had he called it like a tunnel axe or something. It's like a big axe.
It was a big axe. I don't remember what the train noun
I think it was,
was.
I think it was tunnel, but I'm not 100% sure. And then Ricky has a rail sword.
It's a sword with the blade is like a train track.
That I love a whip sword. If anyone knows anything about me, it's that I love a whip sword. And I was like, hell yeah, we're gonna get a whip sword. It gets all weird and wiggly, and then the track just kind of comes out and wraps up the mooks, and he just cuts them regular. And I was like, I thought it was gonna be a little neater than that, but that's still fine. And then he goes up to San, and he's like, switch colors with me.
Yo, let me try that blue one.
I want to be blue now. And like a minute ago, you didn't like blue, but now you want to try blue on for size? And he's like, no, we can't just switch. He's like, yeah, we can switch lines. And then they hit a button and they take out the trains and they put them in.
Yeah, I think this would have made more sense if he had switched for a different color in the train. Like if it was like, I don't like green, and he switched green for red. And then in the battle was like, let me try blue out. Because he was wearing blue. Like he was wearing blue.
It was laundry day.
Laundry day, he was sleeping on the side of a fountain.
He was sleeping like in public in an office park, just taking a nap during the day.
On like a marble ledge.
On like a little ledge. But they switch colors, and there's like this cool effect when they switch colors, and I really like this. The problem is I don't see the point of it.
It swaps weapons. That's really all we get out of this.
Couldn't you just hand them? Like I can give you, like if I was Jason, I could give Trini my sword to hold and to use, you know. I don't need to like change power sets. That just seems weird to me.
Yeah,
and look, I love modes, but this I don't know what there's got to be more in the Sentai to
if
it.
If there's more color specific abilities that we just haven't seen yet, it will be better. I'd like it just as being able to use the other weapons. I think there's some fun gags that come out of that.
I like how the scene played out. I just like, I want there to be more to it.
I can agree with that. I like the concept. It's a little weak if it is just a weapon swap.
Yeah.
But I do like that they swap colors around.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because they all have their morpher and then they just swap the train out.
And yeah, it's like
and
plug
then
and
they
play.
Slam the like Ghostbusters trap down.
And then they turn
and there's like a railroad like turnstile that like switches their colors. That's really cool.
Yeah, the effect is really neat. And then Gus runs up to Faye, And he trades with her, and she's like, I don't think I want to trade. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. You'll be green. It'll be cool. And they switch, and then now he's pink. He's like, well, this is so much lighter because he has, like, the little bridge claw. Yeah. But then she has the tunnel axe, and she can't lift it. And then a bunch of mooks.
They beat her up. They start kicking her and punching her. And here's where I thought maybe they should have shot something different. Because we go into her helmet and we get the Sentai Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
Doing like a strongest girl thing. And like, I don't know, you could have shot something or just left this part out.
Just because like it wasn't that long ago that she did the strong, I'm the strongest girl.
Yeah, but we've already set that up.
When we see the Pink Ranger using her power of imagination in like this big, like different way than just her being brave or whatever, just cut that part out then. Yeah. You know, like cut the pink flashback out and maybe put in the flashback of the footage you shot of not a different person doing this same thing. Because it's the attention to detail that I feel like is where these things live and die. And this isn't even a little detail. This is like a whole ass scene.
It is like, that is not Faye. That is a Japanese girl. Like,
it's bananas.
Doesn't even have her hair the same way. Like,
no, like his face is like kind of in space buns and hers are like in big pigtails.
Yeah.
The Pink Ranger. But then she does lift the axe. She's the strongest girl.
She's the strongest girl.
Yeah, now she can use big axe. And they train, and Charlie hates Pink. Wouldn't you know it? Love that old chestnut. And then at some point they fight Ragdoll. I think at this point Ricky's green, maybe. Maybe he got to pink by now. I don't know. They've all traded so often.
I think he runs up to Ragdoll in green and like starts fighting with him.
Yeah, and they fight, and he knocks him down, and then the conductor is like, you have to change back. Don't do this all willy-nilly unless you need to. And then he hits a button, and all the trains fly out of the morphers and zoom back to their original ones. And I was like, it's weird that you can do that remotely, but okay. And then he says, you can put your weapons together, and you can make any weapon you want with your imagination.
He's like, just link them up. Use your imagination, and you can use any attack you want to.
Which is neat, but then they just put them together and shoot a train bullet at him, and I was like,
they just make a big crossbow and shoot him with a train bullet.
And I was like, that doesn't seem like it requires imagination. But then,
well,
when it hits him,
maybe they'll get more imaginative as it goes on, or they will just use the same weapon every time.
Well, so this is what I'm thinking, is that the imagination part is not the crossbow train bullet. It's what happens when it hits them.
That could be.
Because they say something about, like, kids are too, you know, you should have stayed away from kids or whatever. And then these, like, Japanese child statues appear on him. And he's like, I don't think I get this reference.
He's, like, holding one, and then they just keep stacking up and up until it's, like, five stories tall.
And then it collapses and crushes him.
He says, I don't get the reference. And as it's collapsing and blowing him up, is when Faye turns to the camera and says, I think it's from the Sentai.
I thought she said, I think it's from the 70s, which I thought was very funny.
That is better, but still doesn't make sense. What does that mean?
No, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't make sense in a way that I think is funny, whereas I think it's from the Sentai is, why do we always stand like this when we do our Voltron morph?
Yeah. Oh, of course it makes sense that we're spandex-laden superheroes fighting alien train Nazis.
What else would we do? Like, yeah, shut up. Hey, shut up. If you ever want to do that, shut up. Don't do it. Sucks every time. So then he grows, and then they get their Zords, and this I actually thought is really cute. They go run up to their Zords, but then this big, like, gate pops down and Ricky can't get through it, and Sans like, Ricky, you gotta use your train pass.
He runs around it and just like slams into a force field.
Yeah, and he's like, you gotta go through the gate, and they pull out these little train passes and they beep them and they cross the gate, and then they can go in their Zords. And that was very cute.
I'm telling you, this would have been a good lighthearted, goofy season.
I think it could have worked. It's the Zords are just rectangles. Is the problem?
Zords are just trades. That is kind of lame. And like, the bad guys are Nazis, and so I don't know how that plays.
I feel like the bad guys being Nazis is like,
they are dressed in a way you could sell them as evil train conductors.
They're just they're evil train guys. And I feel like that would be like the kind of thing where like an adult would be like, oh, they're doing not they're bad guys are Nazis. Like, I get it. But kids are just like, ah, they're bad. But also Nazis are bad. And it's OK to make Nazis the bad guys and things. I feel
that
like.
Is also true. Yeah.
You know, because they're going to lose at the end of the day. And just like all Nazis do, because the only thing they're good at is losing because they're idiot suckers. I do think, and look, I know there's like 100 people being like, I think trains are cool. That's fine. I love that for you. Look at the sales for Thomas the Tank Engine toys. and then tell me how many of those the kids there, because they're not buying the toys, the toys are being bought for them. Tell me how many of those kids are over the age of 3 years old. And that's all I'm saying.
For those.
And asking for them. They're like, oh, you watch Thomas the Tank Engine because you're a baby and there's no plot to Thomas the Tank Engine besides Thomas has to go do train stuff. That's fine. I just don't think the 7 to 10 year old demographic the Power Rangers
I think
is trying to
what
hit.
What you would get is into that, trains. You would get your like 2 to 4 year olds, and then you would get your like 60 to 80 year olds with the model train basements.
Your grandpas, with the model train basements.
They would watch it with their baby great grandchildren.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe this would have been the thing that broke the mold, right? You put out the cool Power Rangers train, and finally trains are cool. Now trains do something.
Yeah,
and now everybody loves trains, but they're not going to take that risk, you know. I do think this season would have made a good. Adaptation if you just use it for like 5 episodes and you use the color switch thing and then something happens that like blows up the power and like you do some weird like dimensional stuff and then now you can use those same characters to play different versions of themselves for different seasons that you want to adapt so you can keep the same like cast for a little while. I feel like that's you could have done something with that using like with the Power Rangers as a lead-in, but again, toy executives, they don't take risks. So sorry that no one got your cool Power Rangers. They have the longest sword sequence I think I've ever seen in my entire life. We have to watch in real time as trains pull up and attach themselves to each other. It takes like 25 minutes. It takes so long. But then they finally get they get big. They're a Megazord now and they fight. Not a lot. The fight itself is not terribly long. I do know that at some point, Faye's like, don't you think we should wrap this up? Which I don't. That feels like someone in production was like, we should edit out the rest of this and just get to the good parts. So then they do, like, there's like a crossing thing that comes down and it stops Ragdoll. And then they pull out their sword and they get on little skates and they slowly zoom at him on their little train skates. And they cut him and he dies.
And then they just like after hang on. Daisy's found my cord. After they kill him, they just are still like slowly rolling down the train track.
They don't know how to stop yet. This is their first day. It's their first rodeo.
But this he being the conductor, explains to them that's like use your imagination to put your trains together and they'll work exactly the way you imagine them to, which is the most, it's second nature to me as right. explanation that they could have come up with.
Yeah. And then Ricky's like, oh, man, if this is what being a Power Ranger is like, I love it. Okay, cool. And then we cut to the bad guys. We cut to the Shadow Line. And they're very, again, the voice acting on this is very good. They're mad that they lost one of the Shadow Line stops. Baron Stein is, and Arne Anderson is like, hey, don't do anything rash, just like follow the plan and then we'll just defeat them when we need to, it'll be fine,
stick to the plan.
And then the girl one whose name I don't remember is like, and then Greta can, because Greta is the next emperor, by the way, like, yeah. they want to reawaken the emperor, but also like Greta is in line to be an emperor, but she is also, if Grimace was a 6-foot-tall baby, so
yeah,
lol. Get it?
Isn't that funny that she's like a baby but has a deep voice?
But it's a deep voice and is very tall. And then we cut back from there to they're all celebrating. They got juice, except Ricky has a whole ass grilled cheese.
It's burnt too. That thing is dark.
That thing is a well done grilled cheese.
Are they all complaining? Like the other four are like, oh, this is kind of. Oh no, because the conductor's
like celebrating.
Yeah, and then the conductor's like, you still have 2,000 some ridiculous number.
It's like 1,437 or something like that.
Faye starts crying.
Faye starts crying. Charlie like tries to console her. Gus just drops his juice. They got little like
it's
plastic
like a glass
flasks.
And it like
yeah,
shatters
like
on the ground.
Yeah. And then San pulls his gun out and puts it to his own forehead.
He pulls the gun out, loads it with his train, and then puts it to his forehead.
That is insane to do. And you're like, haha, we're doing a Power Rangers thing. This is the most Deadpool ass. But then we cut to Ricky eating a big old burnt grilled cheese.
Just chomping on it. He's like, hey, that just means we get to keep being Power Rangers for a long time.
And then I think San tackles him. And then
Faye
the episode
does.
Ends.
Faye
is it
tackled
Faye?
Him. Yeah.
That's,
she's
that's
just
better
like,
at least.
It knocks him over.
And then that's the end of the episode. Josh.
Yeah.
You started. I get to pick the best. First best. I think. Oh, boy. I think the best is the villain's voice acting.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I think it's the villain's voice act. They like it's so like the every all the characters, the Rangers and the conductor. They're not none of them really shine, you know, but aside from Charlie and Gus, who a lot of it, I feel like is just like the clunky delivery. Probably the directing was like, be smarmier, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
like they're all fine. But no one's like, I'm like, whoa, they got a real act, you know, like this is like acting, you know. But then you get to the voice acting of the villains and I'm like, hot damn, they are crushing it. Like this is like better than some Power Rangers seasons I've seen for the voice acting side. So that's, I think, my best.
I think that's mine, too. I don't know. Other than that, I think the soundtrack is also pretty good. Like the music playing during fights is pretty good. The couple of bum, 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 stings they throw in hit very well.
Yeah.
But I do think the voice acting for the villains is probably the best part of this.
Yeah. Runner up goes to them starting like 6 months in the future, or like I guess in the present day, and then going backwards, and just like they lost, it looks bad, everyone's covered in blood, and like that's exciting. Like I'm legitimately like, oh, what did they, how's they get
and
there?
They,
you know?
They show the sixth ranger right away, so now there's like someone we're looking forward to meeting and not someone that's just gonna show up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think the episode 2 is called New Passenger, so I'm pretty sure they just
if they're only doing five episodes, I imagine they're gonna take some big leaps forward.
Yeah, the worst is, I mean, it's got to be like all the self-referential.
Yep.
Deadpool, lol, random XD crap. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work for me. I tried watching an anime the other day called FLCL because it's one of these, or like Fooly Cooly. I don't know how it's spelled FLCL, but everybody calls it Fooly Cooly. And the first episode's called Fooly Cooly. I don't know what's going on. I got 12 minutes in and I was like, this is hard to watch. So I turned it off. Because it is from the year 2000, and it is like the most year 2000 Hot Topic ass scene kid random lol random XD anime that I've ever watched. And I was like, I'm not built for this. I don't think I can handle this.
Like 5 minutes in, they're just like, potato.
Like basically, there is a point in the first episode where the main boy, played by Barbara Goodson. You know Rita Repulsa?
Oh,
voices the main boy in this. He's like 12. His name's I don't remember his name. <It's> like,
his name's probably Mustache. If I had to guess. You know, everyone loved a mustache in the
everyone
year 2000.
Loved the mustache. Everyone loved potato. There was a TikTok I saw that was like someone doing like, this is what people were like in the year 2001. And it was like too accurate. And the problem is all of her videos were like that. I was like, oh, you're just like this. Like, this isn't a bit you're doing. Like, you're pretending it's a bit, but you are just kind of like this. And it was so accurate that I could feel my skeleton trying to like get out of my body. Anyway, so it's like 10 minutes into the episode. he goes home, and the girl that is like the impetus for the story, I'm not 100% sure what the story is yet, because like it didn't start yet by the time I was like, I'm out. But like, he goes home and she's there with his grandpa and his dad, and like, there's like 4 solid minutes where it is like a black and white motion comic complete with all the dialogue in Japanese, like written on the thing. And I was like, I can't do this today. I don't know if I just can't. But that is all to say that when you go, yeah, why wouldn't we be spandex superheroes, Power Rangers fighting all evil trained Nazis? Makes perfect sense. That just makes me want to pile drive you. So that's the worst.
I agree.
MVP, I'm going to say, is Faye.
I'm leaning Faye, possibly Ricky.
I liked Ricky. I did like Sans acting. When he goes, I like Red too. That hit really good. That was a good one for me. But I think I'm going to give it to Faye. I feel like she is the character that makes the most sense as a character. Like, everybody else is like, you're this kind of thing. And Faye is like, you have stuff going on.
Yeah. I like Faye. I think I am going to go ahead and give it to Ricky / Marcus. Okay.
AKA
although,
Marcus.
After Sand is like, he goes by Marcus, no one ever says his name for the rest of the episode. So,
but he's Marcus in the credit, in both credits, like in the front and the back credits. He's not Ricky.
Which, like, that's a dumb joke.
That's weird.
That's a dumb thing you did for half an episode to make one stupid joke.
Yeah. They all said Ricky the Red Rail Rider Ranger in a row. It took like a minute and a half to do it. And it's like, that.
This is something that came up with the writers.
How
funny
did you think that was when you were writing it? Yeah, that must have been it.
They wrote it and then they tried to say it and they couldn't. And they were like, well, I'm going to write into the show why he doesn't go by that instead of just changing his name retroactively.
But like they never say, I'm saying the Blue Rail Rider Ranger.
Well, yeah, that's not an alliteration, Jake.
But what I'm saying is they don't otherwise, they would have never said Ricky the Red Rail Rider Ranger otherwise. There's no reason for them to say that.
I'm saying they named him Ricky before they said Ricky the Red Rider Ranger out loud. And then
Red
they
Rail
said
Rider
it out.
Ranger, thank you.
I missed one. and then they said it out loud and they were like, oh, that sucks to say out loud. I'm going to change it, but I'm going to change it in universe instead of just changing it.
Or the opposite. They were like, that's the funniest thing I've ever written in my whole life.
Or they were literally raffling in the writer's
room. They were rafflecoptering all over the place. This is made last year.
Anyway, I'm going to give it to Ricky. Runner up to Faye, though. I didn't enjoy Faye. I would have liked Charlie, but I also don't like Charlie. So
I wanted to like Charlie, but a lot of factors got in the way of that. Where are we ranking it?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, we got 5 on the list.
I don't think it's probably not the worst one, right?
I don't think it's the worst one. So here's our whole list. This is only 5. I can do the whole thing, right? Starting at the bottom, Celestial Fury, which it's at the bottom, but that is the one where the guy who made it listened to the episode and was very nice about it. So I feel like that should give it some points. Which, that gives it a lot of like.
Is this on the Power Rangers ranking episode?
Ranking? It's on the episode rankings. Okay. It's between SPD and Mystic Force.
Okay, I found it.
So that's at the bottom. Next is Power Rangers Bloodline of the Grid, episode 1. Then Power Rangers Resurgence, which was the one that was mostly like a cool karate, like MMA thing. Yeah. And then he turned into a Power Ranger at the end. Power Rangers Unworthy episode 1 is number 2. Number 1 is Bloodline of the Grid episode 2, where they're like, oh right, Power Rangers, we can do cool stuff.
I think episode 2 of Bloodline of the Grid is probably safe.
I think so.
I think I like the idea of Rail Riders more than Unworthy. I don't really remember the execution of Unworthy though.
Unworthy, so they had not the Phantom Ranger.
But like the bad guy.
There was like the Arbiter or whatever his name was. And he was killing people who were not worthy of being Power Rangers.
He's cleansing the Morphin Grid or something.
Yeah. And he got to this world, which had like Trini and Billy and Rocky and Zach and Kit, like, I feel like they had like Rocky and maybe Adam. I don't know how they did it. And then Tommy was off screen, but probably a girl. I don't remember that they, like, Kim and them were texting. Yeah, that's all I really remember. And they went to the movies. And I feel like if we watch another Unworthy, like, that might do well now that they've kind of set up what they're doing. But like, first episode to first episode, I think this one is stronger than that.
I think so too.
So coming in,
because overall, I would say I enjoyed this. There's some stuff that definitely didn't work, some stuff that definitely didn't land. But as like a fan adaptation of a Sentai into a Power Rangers, I think this did a pretty decent job.
I agree. Yeah. And especially because like no other fan film we've seen have tried to do the Power Rangers thing before.
Yeah. And there's some like jokes in here that I think are not in the spirit of the show. Like putting a gun to your head or calling the bad guys dicks. Like, I get why you do it, right? Because these fan films are not made for the typical Power Rangers demographic
They are made from 25 to 35 year olds. Or yeah. 25 to 40 year olds probably is who's there looking at.
But I don't know. I still watched it like I was watching an episode of Power Rangers, and some of that stuff didn't quite hit, I think, the way that they wanted it to.
I think that stuff like didn't land. And the other stuff is that like, clearly it's not made for money. Like, they didn't like have money in it. So when they couldn't show the bad guys destroying the city and they didn't want to take the footage because it looked like Tokyo, they just cut to a different scene.
Transition. It just like, went from, hi, I'm Ricky, to, and you can call me the conductor. And a lot of stuff has happened in those 2 seconds.
In the split second between those two lines, you are now in a different place. There's a train here, the city's on fire, and I'm the conductor, and I'm doing a voice, sort of. Did not care for the conductor. He does look exactly like the guy who plays Gus, though. Like if they are not related, I will eat a shoe. But like, if this were a real Power Rangers, they had 30 episodes to like get from A to B, conductor would be Gus from the future for sure.
Easily, oh yeah.
If I was doing this. Anyway,
episode 2 is out. So if you're curious to see if maybe we'll find out what Gus was looking for.
I don't know if we'll get that.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get that in episode 2. I have not watched it. And I probably will not unless you guys tell me to. So
yeah. Also, didn't mention this was picked by people on the Discord. I was like, you guys figure it out. And then they did. And then we got this. So solid choice. It could have been much worse, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
But also, if you go to their website, you can see the full episode. Because like this is 30 minutes long. This first episode was 30 minutes long. The YouTube is 20 minutes long. So I don't know what they cut. But I kind of wish we would have watched the 20-minute one. Because I feel like there's a lot of chaff that they could have cut.
That's all the stuff that they left in.
So anyway, so that's it for this one. I don't know what we're doing next time because we're so far ahead and so much of the season hasn't aired, and every time I try to catch up, stuff gets in the way.
You'll put an episode that's ready to go up and it'll take me an extra week to upload it for some reason.
Well, there's that, but also like earlier this week, because this is Wednesday, last week I was like, I'm gonna do so much work, I'm gonna pretend I'm 2018 Jake again, and I have like real motivation, and I'm just gonna bust my ass at it so much. And then I got a UTI and I didn't edit like anything for the whole week because I could feel my bladder the whole time, which I don't even know how I got it, because last time it was because of COVID. I just didn't pee when I should have been because I was passed out from COVID, and my bladder's like, hey man, we sort of have rules around here, I'm gonna make this hurt for a little while. This time, just lucky, I guess. I could get a little grosser with how I think it happened, but I won't.
That's fair. But also,
it wasn't a fun way.
Speaking of UTIs and not going when you have to, we got to wrap up.
Okay. All right. We will see you next time for something. Who knows? Maybe we'll do the movie. Probably not the movie next. We'll probably do something between then and now. We can't record some stuff until the season has aired fully.
Right.
Like, we can't do By the Numbers till the season's aired, and we can't do a couple other things. So who knows?
Well, like, we could do Morphe's. I think the categories we get are usually pretty.
Maybe. We'll see.
But we'll see.
We'll figure it out.
I don't know which award I'm going to use for the picture for this one.
I don't know.
I have to do some deep dives. What are some obscure awards?
What if... We'll talk about it off screen. We'll talk about it later. Okay. I have an idea. Anyway, we will see you next time for whatever it is that we're doing next time. But until then,
may the power protect you. Do I just start like a regular episode?
I guess.
Do I say season 27 episode
No, one? Save that. Save that for the prestige.